They will believe that we are all under a certain amount of stress from time to time. The Lord does not desire us to be under stress. Did you know that? Did you know that? The Lord does not desire you to be under stress. The Lord has given us specific instructions in His scriptures, and I believe that the Lord knew, of course He knows everything, I believe that the Lord knew that in this day and age, our biggest killer is going to be stress. It's something that we've been put under. We subject ourselves to this because we forgot what we're here for. I mean, we forgot what we're here for. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. We're going to get a little bit more into what we have waiting for us. And if we realize what we have waiting for us, it may help to reduce a little bit of the stress that you're facing today. Amen? Amen. Brother Kativer, would you stand up and lead us in prayer for the Sunday school hour? Amen. Thank you, brother. In verse 25 of chapter 6 of Matthew, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore," verse 31, chapter 6 of Matthew, "take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33. After these things that he tells us, after these things that, and we care about this stuff. Hey, listen, we care about this stuff. In America today, we care about the things that we just said. Where's our next meal going to come from? We have to look good. Our clothing has to be right up the line with Hugo Boss. We've got to have clothing that is beautiful and great because we're Americans. I'm not saying not to dress nice. To the contrary, I think you ought to try to look your best for a Sunday morning church. I think you ought to look your best any time that you come to a church service. I just think that that would be pleasing to your Lord. But we should not live our lives worried about that. We should not live our lives concerned with that. It's amazing that this kind of teaching that the Lord teaches here comes right after saying, keep yourself focused or single-eyed on me. Everything else will fall into place. So then after he says everything else shall fall into place, if you keep your eyes focused on me and focused on what I have for you, if you do those things, then you won't have to worry about this. You won't have to worry about that. You won't have to worry about the other. And then he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. We've been put here for a job. We have been put here for a very specific purpose that only the saved, only the children of God, because not everybody's a child of God. I've heard that more and more as the days go on, more and more people saying, well, we're all children of God. We're not all children of God. The children of God are them that have put their faith into Christ Jesus. Not everybody is a child of God. If you're a child of God, you're saved in here today, then you've got a very specific purpose. And by the way, I believe the Lord has a will for every man that ever walked on this earth. He has a will and a way for every person that has ever walked on this earth. He wants everybody desperately to be saved. He desires everybody to be saved. He desires everybody to plug themselves into this seeking of the kingdom. He desires everybody to read the Bible. He desires everybody to pray. Not everybody's going to get saved. He knows that through his wonderful foreknowledge. We as Christians do not have that ability. We do not have his wonderful foreknowledge. We do not know what the Lord knows. Thank God I don't know what the Lord knows. And because I don't know, I am to be about my Father's business. I am to be about what God wants to have me do. What's amazing is the more things that you do for him, the less things that you will worry about this whole world has. The more you go and try to get people saved, the less you're going to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. The Lord knows you need food. As you think about the children as they were out in the desert, you think about them walking through the desert. You think about them out in the wilderness. Did they do any farming along the way? Did they stop by and beg bread from people along the way? Did they worry about what was going to happen? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that their clothing never even got wore out the whole time they were out there. I came up with this. This is not new. But it dawned on me, because I'm a little slower than the average guy. I'll admit that. It dawned on me that God is God. I serve God. Why would he want to let what I wear or what I eat, or why would he want to have me starve if God is my God? Think about that for a moment. If God is your God, why in the world would he want you to starve? The people of Israel say, hey, listen, you're going to put us out here in the wilderness. We're going to die. The Egyptians are just going to say, obviously, you were not a great God. Why would he have you, Christian, go out into the world and beg bread? Why would he have you, Christian, go out in the world and not be able to survive? Why would he do that to you? In the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, Brother Dave, there's a lot of things that God should have been here for me. Hold on now. Hold on now. He knows what things you have need of. The things that have happened to us, I wonder if those were needful things, and we're blaming God for not doing those things, but did we really need them? Or did we really need God not to do that thing for us? Was it really needful for us for God to pull back what we would deem as a blessing of God, because God knew that if he gave us that thing, we would not have success in that thing? See, God has a wonderful foreknowledge that we do not have. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want to have you turn to a couple of scriptures with me this morning. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 31. I'm sorry. This is my New International Version. It's 22, I'm sorry. First mistake I made this last minute. Verse 24, the Bible says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Isn't that amazing? Who of us is going to be the greatest? He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. For he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Understand this, what we have today is not what we ought to be looking forward to. What we have today is not what we ought to be looking forward to. We are not going to be here permanently. And yes, I understand that we should try to do our very best to have things. And I don't want you to not have things, but it's amazing how much things stress you out. It's amazing how much things stress me out. It's amazing how much possessions matter to us. When really, we came into this world, we learned this last week, we came into this world with nothing. And I'm certain we can't carry anything out. Thank God. Now, wait a minute now. What if you had all the money in the whole wide world? Thank God we can't carry that out, because in heaven, In heaven, if you had all the gold in the world, you'd be putting on an orange vest and filling potholes. Listen, I know that sounds crazy, but listen, we stress ourselves out over things that we really ought not be concerned with, because what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. What is your life? Your life is to be seeking the kingdom of God, because what we have waiting for us is so much greater than what we have here. Even the best of what we have here will not even compare to the worst that is waiting for us there. The best here is not even the worst there. You are going to walk on streets of gold. Your home has been prepared for a lot of years by a master builder. And even if you had nothing but a shed in heaven, it would be greater than the greatest home you could ever have here. Yep. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I love the scriptures that make us joint heirs. Yes. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We look at each other today, and the reason that we get stressed out, a lot of the reason that we get stressed out, and I think you'll agree with me, is because we're worried about what other people think of us. Come on. If you'd be honest, you're worried because you pull in with your car into the parking lot, and you're worried that if you drive a car that would stall and fail right there in the middle of the parking lot, that everybody'd be looking at you and you'd feel about this big, so we better make a car payment. By the way, I'm making a car payment. My car's a piece of junk. That check engine light has been on since its inception. I burn 2 quarts of oil every other fill-up in my gas tank. And it's a Chevy. I'm not against Chevy. I just want a car that'll act right. That's all. But we're making a payment. We're worried about what other people will think about what we have. Oh, my goodness. If I have somebody come over, my carpet's not clean, what are they going to think of us? If somebody comes over and they see the life that I'm living, what are they going to think of us? Holy mackerel, I don't know if I'm going to make it. We worry and fret because the rich folk in the church, and this is what drives me crazy, and I'm so thankful I've got a pastor that doesn't do this, that will put more stock in what a rich man has to say than what a poor man has to say. I'm going to be honest with you, I would to God that we'd have a poor man as president just one time. Amen. You know what the poor man would say? I'm not giving you nothing, go out and work for it. That's what a poor man would say. See, what's amazing is we live our lives so worried about the collective opinions of the people around us, and we're all just sinners. We've got to start worrying about one opinion. Just one. The opinion of Jesus Christ is the opinion that we've got to worry about. And the opinion of your Savior towards you, He thinks you're tops. Now, wait a minute now. Well, Brother Dave, I messed up this morning. He thinks you're tops. Brother Dave, you said the wrong chapter this morning. He still thinks I'm tops. I messed up this week. He still thinks you're tops. That's a pretty stress-free environment. Hey, listen to me. He knows your frame. He knows your heart. He's greater than your heart. He thinks of you more times than the sand of the sea. Glory to God, I've got a great boss. And that boss is Jesus Christ. He knows who I am. Now, yes, I believe you should do your dead level best to live your life as He would have you to live. I don't think we ought to take advantage of the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. But I think a little bit of that worry goes away when we realize what we've got to look forward to. If you're going to stress out about the person that just walked past you that doesn't have Christ as his Savior, don't worry about what other people think about you. You are who you are. And I don't think you should act wrong. Don't misread me. But I really think that we should realize that we're worried about the wrong opinion. We're worried about doing things and having things that you are going to leave here. If you've got a Lamborghini, you're going to leave it here when you die. You're going to leave it here. when you get up to heaven, walking is going to be pretty great. See, what's amazing is we worry about the things of this earth, and we treat this earth as though it's a kingdom that has no end. But I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible says that the kingdom of this earth is going to end. And it's going to end abruptly. And glory to God, I will already be in the kingdom. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine how that's going to be. Look at what else it says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We realize that we have no righteousness of our own. Last week, the preacher brought a message about those filthy rags of righteousness that we call our own righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. The Bible speaks of His righteousness in several places. The heavens declare His righteousness. His throne is in righteousness habitation. His righteousness endureth forever. You'll find life in the way of righteousness. His life fulfilled all righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The gospel reveals His righteousness in the judging of sin. In the judging of sin of His own Son. We are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What righteousness does the Lord afford to you? None that we deserve. Do we deserve the righteousness of God? Do we deserve to have that imputed unto us? Do we really realize and grab a hold of what righteousness truly is? I thought about, when I was preparing this, I thought about the uniform rule in my school, our school. And what's amazing about the uniform rule, it's funny how people always want to push the envelope of the uniform. It's crazy. Every day somebody new comes in with something else that they want to add to the uniform. Yeah. It's amazing how other schools in the area are starting to go to uniforms. Public schools are starting to go to them. What they're trying to do is build an atmosphere of equality. I don't want any kid, because we've got kids that are a little bit more well off, their parents are a little bit more well off. We've got kids in our school that the parents aren't so well off. And I don't want the kids that are well off to show off all these other good clothes that they have, and the kids that aren't so well off to not have such good clothes. I want them all to be the same, because it focuses them more on thinking about what they're supposed to do in school and not what the kids wearing Gucci. Gucci sounds more like a tickle word than a clothing line. But I want you to think about that along those lines. I want you to think about that now. Listen to me now. I want you to think about this for a moment. How many in here are saved? Amen. That was fairly exciting. If you're saved in here today, I think that I remember that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It seems to me that if I remember right, that Pastor Skyver is not more saved than I am. I seem to remember that being a child of God does not make me better or worse than anybody else. I seem to remember that Jesus died just the same for me as He died for you. I seem to remember the scripture saying something about there's going to be a wonderful place that we get to in heaven, that we get to have dinner with Jesus Christ. And I don't think that He has a place that is set for anybody else higher than anybody else. It seems to me that in heaven that we all desire to be lower than the other guy. What a change in heart. It seems to me that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, stress has got to go away. It's got to go away. Because you are who you are. And Jesus died for me the same way He died for Captain Freimeyer. He died for me the same way He died for Brother Mark Thompson. He died for me the same way He died for Charles Manson.
Yes, that's right, true.
There is no person that is more saved or more deserving to be saved or less deserving to be saved than any person. No, it doesn't exist that way. Seek ye first. Keep your eye singly focused. Don't get caught up in this world. Keep your eye focused on what's laid before you. Keep your eye focused on the Savior that loves you so much. Keep your eye focused on the simple fact that we are just a passing through this old world. Keep your eye focused on the fact that we've been given a job, and that job is to tell people about Christ. Think about the things that Christ has given unto you. If you think on these things, the stress has got to go away. What can you do? What can you do down here to make your hair white or black? I understand ladies can color their hair, but what can you do to naturally make your hair do that? Who in here naturally can add one cubit to their stature? Who can actually naturally change what God has made you? Who can do that? Nobody but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ decides that his hair's been black long enough.
Yep.
Now it's not. There's wisdom in the gray-headed. See, it's amazing that Jesus can make all these changes. Think about these people that you're seeing on the... I can never get a hold of the fact that people want to have plastic surgery on their faces.
Yeah.
You see people that are going to get... Mostly ladies. I'm not saying guys don't get them, but mostly ladies. They go in there deserving. It's okay. You deserve it. You've worked hard your whole life. It's okay. And this world should be okay with who you are. Amen? They come out like this. I feel the best I've ever felt. I look the best I've ever felt. Would you go in 70 and come out 30? Your body is still your body. But the reason that they do that is because they want people to look on them favorably. They want to be somebody who they're not. Let me explain something to you. The Lord doesn't look on you any different at any time. You are always wonderful to Him. You are always great to Him. You are always worth something to Him because He died for you. He loves you today. And I'm going to tell you right now, He doesn't want you to be anything but His child. I thank God for that. I thank God for that because I cannot change my height. I cannot change my skin color. I cannot change my hair color. There's nothing I can do. Jesus, you got to take me for who I am. And He looks down at me and He says, I want you just as you are. That's who I died for. It's amazing how quickly stress goes away. We live in a world of trying so desperately to be accepted. Think about that for a moment. You desperately want to be accepted. You'll change everything you have to get one person to like you. Jesus said, don't change. I love you. Let Him do the changing. Let Him make the differences. Let Him make the choices. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's amazing how much we'll struggle and strive to clear our own way, to make our own path. Stressful. Stressful chopping down of the trees that come in front of our path. Stressful. But the Lord said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Maybe Jesus wants to help you get through. Maybe Jesus knows who you are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness, not your righteousness, His righteousness. Let's read on. If you look at the scripture, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things shall be added unto you. The things that we're so desperately worried about shall be added unto you. The question you have to then come with is, well, wait a minute now. I don't drive the nicest car. I don't drive this. I don't drive that. But listen, the Lord did not say He would give you all your wants or all your desires. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Dave, there's that if heart and it give you the desires of your heart verse. There's the desires of your heart verse. It also says if you delight in the will, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Are you happy with His will? I'm glad I didn't get an amen there. Because there's times, I'm going to be brutally honest with you, that I may not be happy with the will of God. I may not be happy with God, what God has done from time to time. There may be times when I disagree with how God does things. Then you have to ask yourself, who are you?
Right.
Who am I? Who are you? Hey, listen, I would to God that we'd be preaching in a multi-purpose facility out there right now. But what was God's will? It's not hard looking today, seeing that we got an answer from the Lasco Foundation, which is just an application. I hope you understand. It does not mean that our bank account is full of money. What it means is we've got an application through prayer and fasting. The Lord is making a way. That's what that means. It does not mean that the prayers stop. It doesn't mean the fast. Matter of fact, I think it's time to fast and pray more. It's time to put more feet to it. Time to go win more souls. The time is growing short, and I think that us seeking His righteousness and His kingdom has benefited us. And I think when we get out there and we're debt-free in that land and the tears are being shed and the ribbons are being cut and the ground is being dug, I think when we finally get out there, we're going to understand, I'm thankful for His righteousness and not my righteousness. We may not see now, but we will see then. Now you need to put that to your life. You may not understand why that death in the family happened. You may not understand why that tragedy occurred. You may not understand why your bills are late. You may not understand why the food is short. You may not understand why you lost your job. You may not understand all these things, but understand this. You may not know now, but you will know then.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't know now.
Amen.
I've made that statement a lot. I'm glad I don't know now. It's easier to face things one at a time. Let's read on. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow. This does not mean don't plan. That means don't worry. You got to plan. You can't just live day to day. You got to know what you're doing tomorrow, or at least have a thought of what you're doing tomorrow. But it says, take no thought of tomorrow. Look at... I love what the Bible says about this. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow's going to have its thoughts. Tomorrow's going to have your thoughts. And it's going to have your thoughts tomorrow. So don't waste your thoughts today on tomorrow. Don't lose your focus today because you're looking at tomorrow. And I'm not saying don't dream. Don't have goals. Don't set up things. I'm saying don't worry. And then you'll see the word here in a minute. Don't worry about what's going on tomorrow because you got to focus on what can you do today. Look at what it says. I love how it says this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I had to sit there and think about that for a minute. I mean, what in the world is he trying to tell me there? What in the world is he trying to tell me? And boy, I got to thinking about this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I thought, well, the Lord is obviously, every time I read something in the scripture that I don't understand, I just sit and meditate for a little bit, sing and think about that for a minute. And you know what? You can't change what tomorrow's going to be. Think about that for a minute. You can't change what tomorrow's going to be. You can't change what's coming into your life. And you can have story after story after story that a person started out the day this way and ended the day this way and they never thought that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Sufficient unto the day. You know what that Bible's trying to tell you? You keep focused on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else is going to work out.
Right. Amen.
Don't add tomorrow's maybe bad things unto today's already bad things. Don't add tomorrow to today. Today, you got to think about today. It's enough to battle today. I got to thinking about this. If you have something that you have to face, face it one at a time with your Savior. One battle at a time. You don't see a boxer going to the ring against two guys. Unless he's stupid. Hard enough to fight one. Sufficient unto the day. If you have a day that is set before you right now, boast not of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to be. You don't have any idea. You got a day planned. And like Brother Wade has to go to work tonight. God willing, he's going to work tonight. God willing, he's going to get through the work tomorrow. God willing, we're going to get through the day tomorrow. We ain't got to worry about tomorrow. You're living right now. You can't change it. Live for today. Live for right now. The Lord says, focus on me. Focus on my kingdom and my righteousness. I'll get you through today. Boast not of the morrow. Sufficient for today, right now, your day that you're living in, sufficient today is the bad things that you're going to face. The trials that you're going to face. You got enough today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough on your plate right now. Don't fret yourself for tomorrow. You got enough that you're dealing with right at this minute. You're going to need me right now. You're going to need me. Don't add tomorrow's battle. Just face me now. Don't add tomorrow's hurt. Let's deal with today's hurt. Don't worry about the next things that are going to happen. We can't control those. We're not worried about the happy things that are going to happen. Think about that. You ever? Oh, man, I'm worried about what happy is going to happen tomorrow. I'm worried about how great of a day I'm going to have. Is that stressful? No. Wait till we get to heaven when there is no problems. Wait till we get to heaven when every day is skipping. Yeah. But right now we realize that, man, I don't know if I can pay my bill tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. Oh, man, I'm pulling my hair out because of tomorrow. Don't forget about today. There's enough right here. There's enough you're going to face right now. If you're worried about tomorrow, how are you going to hear the preaching? Come on, think with me now. You got to think with me. We're worried about what's going to happen then. How are you going to hear the preacher when you're thinking about tomorrow? How are you going to think about what's going to happen? How are you going to pray for the next soul to come in your way that you can win? How are you going to do that? How are you going to think about taking in the moment? How many of you have missed moments? Oh, man. If I could add up all the moments and stick a dime with them, I'd be a multimillionaire of moments that I have missed because I'm thinking about something else. I'm thinking about tomorrow and what bad might happen. Well, what? If you think about tomorrow, it overcomes you. If you think about, I'm not talking about not planning. I know I said that, but you need to hear that. I'm not talking about not planning and not setting things ahead. Good Lord, we set the calendar for the church up. Are you kidding me? Seems like the summer's going to be a little bit relaxed. We've got to do those things. But we ought not worry about the evil that is coming. Because you've got to face today. You're going to need him today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Don't fret yourself. Oh, we have so much stress in our lives. So much stress of how God is going to provide. So much stress. Will the school be able to function tomorrow? I don't know, principal. Is it going to function today? I don't know, Brother Dave. Are we going to be able to make it through today's enrollment? Don't worry about tomorrow, brother. You need me now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I have plans tomorrow. Brother Kataira said goodbye to me the other day. I was giving him a hand at his house a little bit. And he says, I'll see you tomorrow, God willing. That's the right attitude. Because we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. I could be walking streets of gold tomorrow. We worry about things. I'm going to tell you, you've got a Savior that has gone to prepare a place for you. In 24 hours from now, it may be that you're facing a battle. It may be. But understand this. You've got a Lord that loves you so much, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. I would to God I could go in every battle, and if you'd be honest, you'd say that there's battles that you have faced without him. Because you didn't need him. You didn't bring him. But I'm going to be honest with you. If we would seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Let Him go before us. The storms are going to calm. The winds are going to cease. The waves will become glass top water. And we'll be able to sail on if we seek Him first. Now that's not easy as it sounds. But I know that's what He wants. I know He wants you to have that relationship with Him, that you call upon Him first. Glory to God, He cares about you enough. He cares about you and loves you enough to go ahead and prepare a place for you. Don't focus on today or focus on tomorrow. You've got a wonderful, wonderful life ahead, and the Lord's going to take you through. Leave stress behind and focus on Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to teach Sunday school class. Lord, I thank You for showing me that I've got no promise of tomorrow. Showing me, Lord, that You're going to take me from day to day, and if I'll just trust in You, You'll help with the battle. Lord, I'm thankful that I have You. I'm thankful that You're my friend that sticketh closer than any brother. I'm thankful that You've made me joint heirs with You. I'm thankful, Lord, that You saw me and knew my heart, and yet You're greater than my heart. You saw me and knew me, and You know my frame. And You still love me. You still care about me. You still want to fight for me. And You still want me to seek You first. Lord, help me. Help me to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Lord, be with these people. Anoint my pastor. Lord, speak through him today. We need it. And Lord, let's have Your will in all the service. Everything Bethel does, Lord, let it be Your will, not ours. Be with us especially today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.